This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, January 31st. I'm Ariana Aspuru for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. The annual fees, the perks, the points. You've put some legwork in to make sure your credit card is the right fit for you. But if you're booking travel right on the card's site, those prices might not be the best ones around.
The biggest mistake that people could make is assuming that the price is the same across different websites. You should be doing research. I know it's annoying, but generally speaking, these are being set by outside companies, and those companies are usually negotiating the prices with the airlines and the hotels.
Wall Street Journal travel reporter Jacob Passy looked into these prices and explains what you should know before booking that summer vacay. That's after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELF. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
If you want to get the best deal out of your credit card company's travel website, you might have to do a little more math and shopping around than you think. WSJ travel reporter Jacob Passy looked at what goes into these travel bookings, and he joins me now. So, Jacob, as people have been going online to their credit card portal, what are they noticing about these prices?
They're often finding that the prices are higher than what they could find elsewhere. So the prices on websites like Chase's travel website or Capital One's travel website are going to be higher than what you might find on hotel and airline websites or through third parties like Expedia.
And what did the credit card companies say about this?
The credit card companies stressed that they put together really lucrative reward programs. So keep in mind that one of the reasons why you might want to use these portals is because if you have a premium credit card like a Chase Sapphire or a Capital One Venture card, you will get extra points or miles if you book your travel through your credit card company's website rather than through a third party.
Who sets these prices on the credit card company site?
So the credit card companies travel portals are usually run by a third party. So they're usually run by major travel aggregators like Expedia, Hopper. Chase is an exception. They acquired a company that runs their website. So they essentially run it themselves. But generally speaking, these are being set by outside companies. And those companies are usually negotiating the prices with the airlines and the hotels. So the credit card company itself doesn't really have a role in setting any of these prices.
But the prices on the credit card company's website and the prices on the third party that manages those sites are different. Is that what we're seeing?
Sometimes, yeah, it varies. And that's the challenging part for travelers. You know, Expedia might not negotiate the same deal for American Express travel versus its own platform.
A big thing when someone's going to book their travel is timing. Someone who logs onto their credit card site, they might not see the same prices as they see on Google Flights or the airline site. What if the price changes on those websites? Does it update on the credit card side?
Airline pricing, hotel pricing are dynamic. They respond to demand. So if a hotel or airline notices that there's suddenly high demand for a given flight, they're going to boost prices higher in turn. But those updates don't filter through automatically. It can depend on how often those third-party websites update. So that could explain some differentiations. And that also creates some opportunities. If your site hasn't updated as quick as, you know, the hotel's own website, that could be a chance to save some money.
And for people who are looking outside of their credit card travel booking website, a benefit of booking through a third party is, like we're talking about, that price can be lower. But what are you missing out on if you do that?
It varies. So if you're booking through somewhere like Expedia, you know, you're not going to necessarily have the same level of customer service as if you booked through the airline or hotel directly. If there's a problem with your flight, if your trip has to be canceled for some reason, if you go to the airline or hotel, they're probably going to say, well, you booked through a third party, you need to go through them. And that can also happen if you book through these credit card websites. But if you're booking on a credit card website, you're getting those rewards. And depending on the price difference, those rewards could make up for what you're possibly spending extra.
This puts travelers in a dilemma where they have to decide if they want to book with their card or if it's cheaper to book directly with an airline or a third party. From the people you spoke to, what kinds of things did they consider when making this decision?
So I spoke with one traveler who said that he starts every search for a flight, for instance, using Google Flights, because he said that they are one of the best sites in terms of figuring out what the cheapest option is. And from there, he'll then go into his credit card travel website, and he looks at what points he's accrued, what he might have in terms of travel credits, and looks at the prices there. And then he determines the difference. In one case, for instance, he was booking a hotel for last summer in Australia, and the price difference was pretty negligible. It was more expensive on Chase's website, but only by about $20 or so. And when he took into account the fact that booking through Chase's travel website got him more rewards, given the cost of the booking, the value of those points was more than the difference in price. And since he's a frequent traveler, he knows he's going to be using those points in the future. So for him, it made sense to bite the bullet, pay a little bit extra through Chase, and book the hotel that way. But if you're not a frequent traveler, even if you have one of these credit cards, it may not make sense to do something like that because you may not use those points right away, and then the benefit you're getting may go to waste.
A lot of these travel credit cards have an annual fee. So how does that money factor into this equation?
So it's one of the main causes of frustration for travelers I spoke with. You're paying a pretty sizable fee for some of these credit cards, upwards of $500 in some cases, and you have to do the math. So this is a good reason before you open the card to consider how often do I travel and whether you're really going to get the mileage out of that card, no pun intended. But also, once you've opened the card, you want to keep doing that math. Look into how often you're actually booking through the site, getting the rewards that you're paying for. Evaluate the other benefits that come with these cards. Some of them come with gym membership rebates and things like that. Are you actually taking advantage of those? Do the math. And if you're not really getting the most out of that credit card that you could be, it may be a reason to consider closing it and opening up a card that would work better for you.
What are some of the biggest mistakes that people can make here when they're booking with their travel card?
The biggest mistake that people could make is assuming that the price is the same across different websites. You should be doing research. I know it's annoying. You should also be considering when you're traveling and the potential for hiccups and headaches. So if you're traveling during a time of year where there's going to be rainstorms, snowstorms, things that could cause your flight to be delayed or canceled, depending on the type of trip, if you have flexibility, it may not matter. But if you don't have much flexibility and then suddenly you're being told by your airline or hotel that you need to go through the third party to rebook, that could add complexity to what is already a stressful situation. So consider those factors when determining who you should book with. Sometimes the peace of mind is worth a few extra dollars.
That's WSJ reporter Jacob Passy. And that's it for your Money Briefing. This episode is produced by me, Ariana Aspuru, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.